Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Sam Matterface, and today myself, Danny Murphy and Martin O'Neill discuss the battle for Premier League survival after Forest beat Fulham and Everton grabbed the point at Newcastle. Elsewhere, we are thrilled to have the four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel with us, promoting the cause of healthy living and sharing insights into the current Formula One season. Manchester City host Aston Villa tonight. Ahead of it, are Pep Guardiola's methods beyond reproach? Is there anything wrong with managers taking aim in the public glare? And Brighton CEO Paul Barber joins the show as the Seagulls soar to new heights, setting a new record for the largest profit made by an English football club last season. You're listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. So much to talk about from last night's football, which was all live on Talk Sport and the Talk Sport app. If you haven't got the Talk Sport app, get it, because tonight you're going to need it. There are four games in the Premier League. They're all available for you live. Arsenal Luton is live on Talk Sport. Talk Sport 2 has Manchester City against Aston Villa. The two other games tonight are available exclusively on the Talk Sport app. We look forward to having your company. We're going to speak to Everton fan Mike in just a second, and Ross the Nottingham Forest fan. It'll be interesting to hear what he thinks about what Nuno Espirito Santo said just moments ago. We played a bit from his press conference where he said the togetherness has improved since he's been there. What does he mean by that, Martin?
What does any manager who steps into a job mean by that there? If I was Steve Cooper, I'd be absolutely raging about that there, as if to say...
You were kind of raging anyway.
Yeah, as if there was no togetherness before he arrived at the football club. Mm. And I'm not having this here. I'm not having this sort of togetherness that's just arrived there. Steve Cooper probably is the most popular manager, I think, maybe since Brian Clough at Nottingham Forest. Mm. So you can't say that there were... I'm not an apologist for Steve Cooper here. I'm just saying that this has happened before. So we've been like a manager come stepping in and talking about fitness from the previous regime. Nothing does your brain in more if you are the departing manager to hear that. Don't talk... Yeah, there's a togetherness. You can say about a togetherness, and that's fine. But don't say since we have arrived. That's leave that out of it.
That's the key.
Yeah,
I agree with him. I think a lot of people watching football can see a team change and evolve and talk about it anyway from the outside. It's fine to say, look, this is a really good group of lads, good togetherness here. Mm. I've inherited a good group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the comparison is disrespectful. And actually, a manager coming in doesn't know what it was like before.
Mm.
So he's actually guessing with that comment. But more importantly, they got a win, didn't they? And when managers get a win and they've been under pressure, which they have, he's trying to find some words to create positivity. But I agree with Martin. I don't think it's helpful.
Do you take that as a slight because you've been in that situation? Do you think he actually meant it in that way? Or was it just his turn of phrase? Was he just trying to promote his group?
Well, I don't know, but I did take it from the point about it since he arrived at the football club,
So you've seen that before.
Absolutely.
That's experienced you.
Yes,
someone's done
exactly.
That to you, have they?
Yes, of course. I was the manager at Sunderland and left Sunderland, and in came that fantastic Italian manager, De Canio,
Paolo De Canio,
who made references to about fitness. And he lasted about 16 weeks himself, and I include the pre-season of that there, and finally lost his job because actually the team weren't fit enough himself. So he, you know, it bounced back in him. He was a brilliant, brilliant player, but couldn't manage a fish supper at the end of the day. So, but, you know, it does rebound on you. It does. You can't talk about somebody, the previous regime's fitness. It might be right, I don't know, but don't be starting publicly saying because it can come back to haunt you, as it did with him.
Mike is an Everton fan. He joins us on the line now. He's called 03717223344. Hi, Mike.
Morning. How are you guys doing? You okay?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Thank you. What do you want to say?
It's about Everton, obviously. Interested in listening to Danny and Mr. O'Neill today, because they've actually said something which nobody on shows, you know, I heard the show in the car while I'm out of work during the week. And normally it's just beating Everton down, how bad they are, how terribly run it is. We all know that, you know, everybody knows that. The one point that these guys missed, which I think is very important, I've been going there since 1968 when I was a young kid, and the place is depressing. The crowd, it's down, it's unhappy. The whole stadium's unhappy. And I think that feeds onto the players because at the first sign of a mistake or a bad pass or a miss, they're not booing, but there's groans because it's not groaning at the lad because he's missed it, because those lads are doing the best. You know, you can't knock them. But it's just down. And I'm just baffled why the people who classed Fahad Moshiri as fit and proper are taking 6 months with these other people and can't make a decision.
Well, so, I mean, there's all sorts of problems going on with these other people. You're referring to 777 yeah. Partners. In fact, okay, a couple of states in the United States of America have told a hedge fund to reduce their exposure to the amount of money that they're lending that particular group. So whether or not that takeover goes through or not is still up for debate.
I think also,
debate,
just to add,
which is a worry.
Unfortunately, at most clubs, and Everton especially because of the intensity of the fans, but most clubs, when you're on a bad run or you're down there, you do get those moans and groans, and it's up to the players to show some resilience.
Everton. Don't you think it's more profound at Everton because they're sort of worn down by maybe a decade and a half of problems and issues and off the field stuff, and in the end, as a supporter, it tires you out.
It does, and it can come out verbally, which affects the players. But the players at that level, you have to show some resilience, stand up, and be counted. And as I said before, although they're lacking that bit of quality, they're not lacking desire. And the reality is that Everton for this season, irrelevant of how bad they are, how bad the run is, how disappointed the fans are, the takeover problems, they've just got to stay in the division. Because with the new stadium on the horizon, you know, that's so crucial to Everton's future.
I'm not so sure that the moans and groans are never necessarily directed at the players. I think they are, myself, because Everton, I've said this before, and I talk about it. Everton, to me, when I was a manager and as a player, I thought it was the most intimidating ground to go to.
Agreed.
But it can also be intimidating for your players as well, too, because you do get a moan on. I must admit, you know, Howard Kendall, you've been supported since 1968, so you'll have just around about Harry Catterick's time, which was a really great manager, and then Howard Kendall, who, you know, possibly the best manager ever, was getting dogs abuse at one stage or another. And I'm not so sure Moshiri was in there at that particular time. So you can actually be moaned at as a player there. And it's a tough place. But when the crowd are with you, Everton is, Goodison Park is just, it's absolutely fantastic. It hasn't been like that there for quite some considerable time. And I agree with you. But don't try telling the players when they've just missed a sitter, and the big groan goes up, and then a bit of booing goes up. Oh, by the way, that's actually not actually aimed at you. It's actually aimed at the board. I don't think he'll believe it or not.
I did a bit of a deep dive into some figures around Dominic Calvert-Lewin earlier in the season, and you know, the fact that he was getting similar sort of levels of quality chances this season as he did in that wonderful season under Carlo Ancelotti, but just isn't converting him this campaign. He would be delighted to get that big drought off his back, 23 games without a goal, scored last night, could be a turning point for him as well. Cheers, Mike. Thank you very much for your call. Ross in Nottingham Forest, fan, let's squeeze you in. Let's talk about Morgan Gibbs-White. Danny's a massive fan. What do you think the future holds for him?
First of all, good show as always, guys.
Thank you.
Morgan Gibbs-White. Now, under Nuno, Morgan Gibbs-White was magic under Steve Cooper. But under Nuno, he's given a bit more freedom. He's made Bruno Guimaraes at Newcastle look average. Last night, he made Joao Paulinho, who is a fabulous footballer, by the way.
Yeah, running
10 minutes away. 10 minutes away from sealing a £60-70 million move to Bayern Munich. Made him look like he'd won a competition to win football last night. And Kobbie Mayhew, the new wonder kid on the block, he's a must for England. Morgan Gibbs-White got him subbed off at half-time when we played him in the league game. Now, he isn't going to get in the England squad ahead of a Foden or a Bellingham, that's obvious. His direct competition in the England squad is James Maddison. Mm. Now, James Maddison, once again, is a good footballer. No doubt about that. But James Maddison cannot do what Morgan Gibbs-White did last night. James Maddison has fantastic ability, quality on the ball when you give him 5 yards of space. He cannot replicate what Morgan Gibbs-White did last night. He is absolutely sensational and should be in the England squad.
Okay. Well, he's in better form than Maddison at the moment, but Maddison's got longevity and his numbers over a period of time in the Premier League are back Maddison up. He's a super talent. Both highly intelligent players. Morgan Gibbs-White will be at a top 5-4 club next season.
You think he can play in the Champions League?
Oh, every day of the week and twice on Sunday. It's effortless. He's a natural. He sees the pictures. If you put him in a good team, he'd shine. I mean, he's shining now in an average team. He's got end product. He sees a pass. He can score a goal. He does the work off the ball. Brilliant footballer.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Four-time Formula One world champion Sebastian Vettel, who joins us now. Hi, Sebastian. Thanks for coming on the programme.
Hello. Hi.
Interesting to speak to you. Yes, we can hear you well. Thank you very much for coming and speaking to us today. You're taking part in a campaign offering expertise and recommendations on how to get your body to perform at its optimum. Both Danny and I certainly need a bit of advice on that. So what is the campaign that you are you're involved in?
Yeah, so thank you and good morning again. So basically, I can help you. No, I think to give you a bit of a background, obviously, you know, as an athlete, as a sportsman, you're surrounded at some point, you know, when you get to a professional level by the best people in terms of everything you're looking for, and also in terms of, you know, keeping fit or getting fit, keeping fit, energizing or refueling with energy during a Grand Prix, what sort of nutrition you're looking at beforehand and afterwards, but also drinks. And we have a drinks bottle in the car, and so I also tried to optimize, and you know, I got into the whole sports drink world and trusted in gels, powders, tried various stuff, but they all came with side effects, and that wasn't very pleasant. So towards the end of my career, I stumbled across a product that is now purple, the sports drink purple, and PERPLE, not like the color purple, standing for performance and pleasure, and it's rooted in performance. So I tried the product, and I wasn't very optimistic at first, but then I tried it, and it was working. I didn't have any side effects. I felt more energized throughout the race, also through or in and throughout training sessions. And I wanted to understand why, and you know, I was curious, got to know the founder, his story, in the pursuit of you know, finding a product and developing a product that will energize you, but doing it in a natural way. Purple is all natural, and unlike all the competition that I learned, you know, that is full of synthetic stuff, you know, I wasn't very keen anymore to put bad stuff and all that rubbish into my body, and you know, made the switch, and ever since I'm very happy. I got more involved and at some point got invested as well, and I think it is exciting because it's something that, you know, I trust. You know, recommending to you if you want to get in better shape or want to have something that you enjoy as well and don't and doesn't come with side effects, but also to all sorts of people, active people, whether it's the professionals or just people that like to, you know, exercise once or twice a week, even kids, because you know, it's harmless, as I said, it's all natural. So exciting, exciting days, and yeah, different journey, but yeah, very, very happy about it.
I'll take all the help I can get at my age, to be honest with you. So I'll take you up on your recommendation. Is it making you feel so good that you're even considering the possibility of making a comeback to F1?
I don't know yet, but if I do, then for sure it will be in my drinks pouch. So that's definitely the case. So yeah, I don't know I don't know yet, or I don't know. Obviously, there's some things that I miss about the sport, other things that I don't miss. But for now, I'm keeping myself busy with other stuff. I'm very happy at home, spending more time with kids, etc.
Can I ask how quickly do you think it will get to the point where it's readily available? Because, for example, my children who are heavily into their sports, and they're always, you know, if you're on the rush, you're taking them to one football match, you're taking them, my daughter, horse rides, etc., etc. You sometimes stop on you get a garage or a shop, and you just grab like a Lucozade or a whatever is available, yeah, and an energy drink, and something like this. When is it going to be more available than it is now?
Well, that's the challenge, obviously, getting the product out there. It is available. I mean, you can already order online, and I'm sure we can get you and send you some stuff. But you visit drinkpurple.com, and then you can order. I've got the stuff here, so I cannot really send it to you through the camera. I don't know if you can see me. You can definitely hear me. But it is available from now on, and hopefully it will be in the shelves in the future. But it's definitely worth a try. I think it is exactly that. It's giving you an alternative to all the sugary and all the kind of stuff that you don't really trust. And we know that it's based on trust in this sort of field and business, because as an athlete as well, you have one shot. You try it. If it works, brilliant. You stick with it. If it doesn't, you move on. So, I think it's it did do the difference to me. It did do the trick. And you know, if you do sports, I think the key is that it can be pleasurable. It can be enjoyable, and it doesn't have to be the whole no pain, no gain theme that is so popular.
Well, let's talk about no pain and no gain, because there's been a lot of pain for everybody else who isn't Max Verstappen in Formula One over the course of the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. What have you made of his dominance?
Well, I'm a fan. I mean, I think it's great to watch. Obviously, it's not always as exciting as having two people fight for the top spot, or three or four. But, it's not something you turn up and you wish for a sort of certain outcome. The sport is what it is, and Max at the minute is just driving on a better level than most and probably all of the other drivers. Plus, the team he's surrounded by, they're doing a fantastic job giving him the tools to work with. So, you have to accept that and take your hat off, because he's just that little bit better than everybody else at the minute.
What's gone wrong for Mercedes, do you think?
You need to ask them. I don't know. I'm obviously, like you, just watching now. So obviously still in touch with some people. But it's difficult once you lose the momentum, and then you have a strong opposition with Max and Red Bull at the minute. It's difficult to get back to that level immediately. Just missing little bits here and there. Usually it's not one ingredient you're missing. It's lots of small things, and that in the end makes the difference.
Yeah, is there a little bit of a danger that the sport gets a bad reputation, it becomes a little bit boring? If Max Verstappen wins every Grand Prix, wins every world title, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the Red Bull team, obviously with the Christian Horner situation as well. Has it damaged the reputation of the sport, do you think?
I think from a competitive point of view, it's normal. You always had phases where, you know, a certain driver, a certain team was dominating the sport. You could argue the same thing about other sports, you know, the same skier winning all the downhills, or the same football club winning the Premier League with, the last 10 years, mostly Man City. Then you can argue Liverpool was up there. But that's boring if you're looking for, 5, 6, 7, or 10 different teams winning in 10 different years. So it depends always the angle that you're watching from. And I think what you mustn't forget is, as I tried to highlight, is the perfection or the excellence that Max is pulling off at the minute. So for sure, as you know, a spectator and watching, you would hope for more passings and people racing closer to each other. But Max is just that little bit ahead. I think it's normal the sport undergoes certain phases or dominance by a certain team or driver.
Martin wants to ask you a question, but quickly before we move on to that, obviously Lewis Hamilton is moving from one team to another. He's going to Ferrari. It's a big move for him. A couple of weeks, he's been talking quite a lot. He referenced the sort of Christian Horner situation and claimed that Formula One is a bad environment for women. What would you say to that?
Well, Formula One is a big industry, is a big, you know, global sports, and with that comes a lot of responsibility. I think on some fronts, Formula One is moving very, very fast. If you look at the technology, the cars, it's fascinating. On other fronts, I agree, it's moving quite slow. But there is, I think there is change in the air, and things are getting better. I mean, if I take my time, the when I started to when I finished, there were a lot more women in that case involved. You know, not just coming to races to watch, but also or standing and holding your car number on the grid. Obviously, we got rid of grid girls. And we moved on, and I think you know, now there's more and more women involved in the teams. But yeah, you know, it's great to see, and hopefully we'll break the ice even more to have more and more women being involved and having the courage to join Formula One, because there's a lot of them that are very passionate about racing, about motorsport. But yeah, it's something that happens. It should happen and has to happen quicker, and it can only be encouraged. And I think generally, you know, transparency. And that's probably true for all the sports, is something that needs improvement, so that with the responsibility that you carry when, you know, to all your listeners, followers, watchers, whatever, that, you know, you open up and you make it more accessible, and you live the change, and you show the change, and you only declare that in a way that everybody understands by being more transparent.
May I get back to your vitamin drink, please, very briefly? I'm yes. being much older than Sam and Danny here in this room and obviously want to stay alive for another couple of weeks. Tell me, did you discover this before your first Grand Prix victory, or was it during the course of your four-time championship?
No, it was towards the end of my career. Before that, like I said, I was using all sorts of, you know, the usual suspects, all sorts of powders, all sorts of gels. And I got that stomach cramps, and it wasn't pleasant. You know, it's not nice when you drive around and you have to focus you're working out, and then you're suffering. So what I did is just dilute them to a degree where there was hardly anything else but water. But then I was running out of energy. But for me, at least, this was if you had choose, you know, one of the two bad options, you choose the one where you don't, where you're not in pain. But then towards the end, because I was always trying, and you know, when there was something new coming up, new drink, promising, whatever, in terms of performance, trying it out, giving it a go, and this one was promising when I tried it on the, you know, on the bike for the first time, and then dared to try it in testing, and then in the car with racing, and I didn't get disappointed. I did feel the difference towards the end of the race, because obviously you can measure how much energy you lose.
It's only because you've won the Formula One that you've won me over. So I'm coming for it.
No, I don't want to win anybody over. But I think the thing that really won me over is the fact that you know, the industry is not regulated. You look at all the sports drinks and all your mostly fake energy, sugary drinks. They're not doing what they're promising, so that's not right. It's a false claim. And with Purple, I think it's a new chance. It's an all-natural drink, and to me, it's doing what it's supposed to, or what it claims to do, and that's what convinced me in the first step. So I think it's refreshing. Also, it tastes great, but that's for you to make your mind up. But you should give it a go.
Sebastian, we've got to let you go. We've been told that you've got to go, and we've got to go and give Martin his extra boost of energy so he gets for the next couple of hours. So thank you very much.
Thank you, mate.
For coming on. That's Sebastian Vettel, the four-time Formula One world champion, joining us on TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
After the Arsenal game on Sunday, Jack Grealish got a little bit of attention from Pep Guardiola. He was sort of questioned about that. Pep suggested by some that maybe he sort of did it for a little bit of show. Here was his response yesterday when he was speaking about it.
Oh, I'm the famous person of the team, and I don't recognize, and I need the cameras to my ego go to sleep with incredible satisfaction. So that is the reason why. So always I try to criticize the players there and let them feel that how bad they are. And especially when Erling scores three goals, the compliments has to be with me, not with them. That's why I use the cameras to do it there. So my advice next time, don't film us. It will not be a problem.
I don't know if that was tongue firmly in cheek or planted in the side of his mouth. A little bit sarcastic, Martin. Obviously, he says it's nothing to do with the playing up to the cameras. Do you agree with him?
You say a little bit sarcastic. You know? I think that, I mean, from my own viewpoint, I, as a manager, I have actually praised players on the pitch, just as I remember a game at Goodison Park, where I rushed on at the end when Ashley Young had scored a fantastic goal to win the game for us when Everton had a late equaliser a moment before that. So you can come on, but you're in a praiseworthy mood at the time. I'm not so sure that if you are lecturing players, and I don't know whether he was or not at the time, I think I might sometimes maybe save that there for the dressing room. But it is very, very difficult to argue with a man like Guardiola. He's only won about 35 championships. Very difficult.
So it's beyond reproach, is it? You can't criticise him.
Of course, people can be criticised, you know, but at the end of it all, you know, it is... and I think he has, and I think Danny mentioned this before, he has actually praised players on the pitch as well, as well as admonishing.
Have you ever had a dressing down from a manager on a pitch?
Not that I've had a couple of incidents where I've been taken off and had a spat on the side in front of everyone.
How did that go?
Not very well.
Yeah,
I got fined on both occasions. and actually, both of the...
Did you deserve it? Were you in the wrong, or was
petulant.
The manager?
It was a bit petulant. Deal with it after, You're not going to change it there.
Who was the manager?
One was actually Roy, who I got on great with, so that kind of made it even more frustrating for me. And the other one was Gerard Houllier. Again, someone who I respected greatly and should have dealt with better. But it's passion in the moment, and it didn't help me with Roy. I think it was at West Brom. I had a go when I come off because I felt fine, I felt great. I thought we were 0-0, I thought we could win it. And he was shoring it up a bit. And I said my piece kind of thing, which he kind of let go. And then as I got given one of those big bottles of Lucozade, I was behind, a couple of rows behind, I threw it and the top come off and it all went over the back of his legs and... Oh, dear. Anyway, you know, these things happen, but I think with Pep...
What did he say to you when it went all over the back of his legs?
Nothing. He didn't really... He had a look as if to just, you know, he knew it was me. I didn't mean it to go over him. He knew that. But, yeah, he had to find me. Against his better nature, really. But in terms of Pep, I think one of the problems with this, Pep seems to... He always looks like he's angry and telling people off, even when it might be reasonably constructive.
Yeah.
Because what people tend not to want to see is the players' reactions when he does it. And a lot of the times, the players' reactions isn't particularly defensive or argumentative.
Well, actually, Grealish's wasn't, was it? He was sort of absorbing the information, nodding his head
because
and saying, yeah, I get that. Oh, right, okay. He was sort of almost accepting of the information that was coming.
Well, my gut feeling is what Martin says, is that most things can be dealt with in the dressing room. Pep is a very openly passionate manager. He's one of those on the on the line, the periphery of over the top at times. And there's a lot of people who like that in a manager. I think some of the times he's going on and he's just, this passion he has and this energy kind of takes over him a little bit. And whether it be positive or negative, comes out in a bit of an aggressive way. But is it... I think in this day and age, we just have that much coverage of every game and every incident that we're trying to find things to pin on people who are just so wonderful and
I'm
good
trying
at
to find things. It was there for everyone to see. No, we're just talking about an incident that happened.
But he does it all the time.
He does.
It's only been it's been emphasised because they drew 0-0.
And he's done it to the opposition players. Remember what he did to Nathan Redmond a few years ago? I think he grabbed hold of him and said to him, "You should be in a bigger team or whatever." He was sort of. It's something else that he's done before. It's not.
If they drawn 0-0 at home, Jack's had a bit of a tough time, so it's been exaggerated and emphasised. If he'd have done it after a 2-0 win to Bernardo Silva, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Okay. He also had a little bit of a nibble at Martin's former assistant, Roy Keane, after Roy had said that in general play, Erling Haaland is so poor, it's almost like a League Two player. This is what Guardiola said back.
I'm not agree with him. Absolutely not. It's like he said, he's a manager for a second or third league. I don't think so. So... he's the best striker in the world. And he helped us to win what we won last season. And the reason why we don't create much chances is not for Merlin. Because we need more presence in the final third with more people. And we play an exceptional game. I reviewed the game against Arsenal, but just we miss more people in the final third. Maybe for the quality, different skills that we have, but Erling is exceptional.
Erling is exceptional, and he did have a little bite back at Roy. Was he right to have a bite back, or did he need to get involved in that?
Well, I suppose sometimes as a manager, you're thrown a question, and you've got a split second in which to deal with it. You either decide, shall I go down this route, and you know where it might lead to, or shall I just dismiss it? I think he's decided that he wants to defend his player. I happen to agree with him. I happen to think that Erling Haaland is probably the best striker in the world, and Roy has probably overemphasised the point. It's something to get here. I didn't hear the comment firsthand. So in sense that I don't know whether he meant in a general thing, which would be wrong, or whether it happened to be that particular game. However, Haaland is fantastic, and sometimes,
but he's not wrong in that he doesn't have too many touches to the ball. He doesn't get involved in the rest of the play. He was just commenting on that.
I'm not into that at all about the number of touches he has or hasn't had in the game.
Same.
He is a brilliant, brilliant striker. He scores goals for fun.
I'm not,
because it's the hardest thing in the world to do, scoring goals. So and he scores them in multiple numbers. He's fantastic. He's the best in the world. There's no question about it. Just because sometimes the ball's laid up to him, he might not control it immediately. And it's not too often. It's Manchester City playing in a different sort of way. And if the team is content for him just to finish things off, that's fine. I didn't see Gary Lineker was accused of the same thing. Didn't join in on play. Maybe the best striker Germany have ever had, Gerhard Müller. He was a box player. That's what they said. He didn't bother outside the penalty box. It didn't matter. And this number of touches, it does my brain in when I see the stat coming up and they see that Erling Haaland's had 5 touches and he's only scored 4 goals in the 5 touches. It does my brain in. He's the best in the world. He's been out. I think Danny, you just mentioned somebody scored about 29 goals this season.
Yeah, and he's having a bad season.
And he's been out for about 4 months through injury.
Here's a question though. You've both done this job. You've both been manager. Well, you've been a manager. You've been a high profile player. But you've also both been high profile pundits on television. And you've said things that I'm sure, and you've had them taken out of context. Yeah. You've certainly said things that people have reacted. Yeah. Two, sometimes when you say those things, do you think they're taken out of context as well? Could Roy's comments have been taken out of context?
Well, we talked earlier, Roy, to be fair to Roy, he didn't say he's always looking like a League One or Two player. He was talking more about more recently on that day.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it in an aggressive way. You could see as he was talking, he was looking for the right words to try and give it. It wasn't like a pre-planned, I'm going to annihilate Haaland. And that's the context you don't see when you just read it back or hear it back. The thing with Roy is that he is outspoken. He does say it's what
but that's what you want.
It's what you do in this industry. What he does, and the fact is that he's not the one, like you said, who put the question to Pep to try and cause this problem. Look, just going back for me, and I've spoken about Haaland before, and I agree entirely with Martin. I'm glad he said it. Haaland's perceived weakness is actually his strength. This thing about needing 20, 30, 40 touches a striker, his discipline to stay high, stay out the way, and not come and be egotistical enough to get lots of nice touches and look pretty on the eye in a side like Man City, who keep the ball better than anyone, is actually incredible that he has the strength of mind to do that
job. Some people would drop deep, try to get involved in the play.
Because I'm not in the game. I'm not looking
exactly
good. My numbers aren't going to be very good. You know what players are like now? Oh, they're going to bring up, I've only had 9 touches again. Haaland's not interested. He's a ruthless goal-scoring machine.
Absolutely.
Do you know what's going to happen now, Martin? Don't you? He's going to go score about 12 in the next 4 games.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant player. Absolutely brilliant player.
Simon in Stockton says, we talk about keepers all the time who are no good with their feet. Why can we not talk about a striker who is no good at build-up play? Simon from Stockton. Unfortunately, I agree with Roy this time around.
Well, I'm sorry. Is that Simon?
Yeah.
Simon, you'll have to go down to the Etihad tonight, have a little look.
Could he be more rounded and perfect in his link-up play? Of course. But he's a 6'4", 6'5", powerful, you know, like goal machine. He can't be Dimitar Berbatov and come off as a number 10 and be the best striker in the world. You've got to have a small weakness.
I'll get back to the point. The hardest thing in this world, in the game of football, is scoring goals. Mm. He does it better than anybody else at this minute.
Absolutely. And you'll be able to hit him score maybe more goals tonight against Aston Villa live on TalkSport 2 this evening. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock. We've got all the games from the Premier League this week on the TalkSport app. Join us.
The world's most dangerous download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, TalkSport.
Big day for Brighton yesterday. They set a new record for the largest profit made by an English football club, £122.8 million last season. Their accounts were announced yesterday. The profits were thanks in large part to the sale of players such as Alexis McAllister to Liverpool, Mark Cucurella to Chelsea. But even without income from transfers, Brighton were still in profit. So how are they doing it in a time of profit and sustainability rules and points deductions all over the Premier League? How have Brighton shown that success can be built organically? Let's speak to their CEO, Paul Barber, who's on the programme this morning. Good morning to you and congratulations, Paul.
Morning, Sam. Thanks very much.
What is it about the Brighton environment? How have you done it? How have you managed to secure success in the face of everybody else's troubles?
Well, I think the first thing to say is we haven't done it overnight. It's been a decade of hard work from a lot of people. And obviously that starts at the top with the chairman and the vision he had for the club a dozen or so years ago when he took over. And then since then, a lot of hard work to get our processes as good as they can be. Obviously that starts really with player recruitment. That's a critical part of any football club's operations and success. And then off the field, just trying to maximise, you know, what we've got. You know, we haven't got the biggest stadium, but we fill it every week. We haven't got the biggest sponsorship revenues, but we've got great world-class partners who we've been with a long time and we work hard to make sure, you know, we deliver for them. And we've got great staff in all areas of the club that work really hard and deliver week after week. And, you know, managing our costs and keeping ourselves as profitable as we can is an important part of our process. And so far it's gone well, but there's still a lot of work to do. And we also know in football, things can go the other way very quickly. So, you know, we've still got much more we think we can do and we need to do.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that and how you guard against the idea of that change is probably important going forward, because people will talk about the fact that there's a lot of clubs that develop talent like you do, find young talent, sell it on at a higher price, make a profit as a result of that, and then look to regenerate underneath and bring in replacements. That model has worked and served you well up until this point, but how long can you keep sustaining that sort of selling good players that you find and then regenerating the squad? Because these things often, and people will point to Ajax, they'll point to even the Liverpool team earlier in its incarnation under FSG. They'll talk about other teams that have tried to do this and haven't been able to sustain it over the long period. How do you do it?
Well, I think first of all, you know, player recruitment isn't a process that happens in two transfer windows each season. It's a process that happens 365 days a year. So we're constantly looking the ways in which we can bring in players from different parts of the world. We're looking at the quality of those players. We're looking at their coachability, our opportunity to develop the players when they come in, either within our club or through a different pathway, through loans at different levels and maybe sometimes even in different countries. And then it's a question of making sure we can blend that talent with what we've got in the building already through our own academy, what we've got within our first team group and our under-21s group, and then making sure that we've got senior players around at the moment, the likes of Adam Lallana, Danny Welbeck, Pascal Gross, Lewis Dunk, James Milner, who can actually help nurture that talent, not just on the field, but off the field. And then, you know, there's a real judgment to be made about when we sell it and selling it at the right time so that we can remain competitive, give Roberto and his staff what they need to compete in the Premier League, which we know is really difficult every single week, every single game. Tonight will be no exception. But at the same time, for our business model to work, we need to be able to move those players on at the right time. And that's, you know, that's a trick that, you know, we've been able to do pretty well over the last few years. But we don't get everything right. You know, there will always be decisions that we make on human beings that don't come off. And, you know, our philosophy is about trying to refine what we do every single day to be better. And when it doesn't work, to establish why. And sometimes it's not a human failing on the part of the recruitment staff or the way the club has managed it. It may just be that a player doesn't settle, the family doesn't settle, the country doesn't feel quite right for them, or the league is a bit too tough for them at that moment in their career. And so we have to learn from that and see if we can refine the process, and then we go again. But as I say, over the last sort of few years, we've got more right than wrong, which is great, but we haven't got everything right. And there's still plenty we can do to improve.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.